Welcome to The Ether. Today is Friday, April 1st, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Have you heard about the new Terra Invest Strategy Discord server Orbital Command spun up? If you're looking for a chill place to chat about different Luna stacking strategies, or looking for some alpha, or if you're trying to find the best UST farms, or even if you just have a quick question you need answered, be sure to stop by TIS and say hi to the Orbital Command gang. Hell, I'm even in there sometimes when I'm not editing hours of CFI spaces. You can find me in that server chatting about NFTs and answering basic Terra Luna questions. The link to the server is in the show notes, and for more information, check out orbitalcommand.io. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, a space with the Galactic Punks and Messier Art, hosted by Terra Big Brain. Let's take a listen.
My other two co-hosts are in. You guys want to just say hello real quick before I get
to Yes, I have finally managed to get connected. Hello, everybody. Karma here, joining from the Galactic Punks account. I am very, very famous for being hated by Twitter Spaces and being disconnected continuously. So let's hope it doesn't happen today.
Perfect. Sounds good. Thanks for joining us, Karma. Messier.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, it's Gazza here on Messiers.
Hey, Gazza.
Thanks for joining us here. All right. We'll maybe a couple more minutes and before I get going. I just want to, before we get into our topic, I just want to speak a little bit on the Skeleton Punks issue, debacle, whole scenario that happened earlier this week, as I wrote a pretty decent thread on it. And so I just want to give full transparency on my end and kind of how it came about and what I knew and when I knew and why I decided to write the thread and some things like that. So pretty much on the Skeleton Punks, I was approached by two people, literally within 10 minutes of each other, reaching out to me, basically asking me for if there would be any chance that I would be willing to invest to kind of do what Merrick did, which is awesome that he stepped in and did it. And so my first question was, well, why? What happened? How? What's going on? Just kind of randomly to ask for that. And then I was kind of told somewhat of the story, but not all of the story, about what was happening. And so I reached out actually in the iced out Discord to somebody that I knew that was not a part of the project, but maybe just helping do some things in there as to what was going on, if he had heard anything, blah, blah, blah. At this point, he had not heard about the funds being removed or anything like that. He thought they were all still there. So I kind of just did a little more digging, spoke to a few more people, finally got a hold of Bolin, and he was awesome. Great. I talked to him for an hour on the phone. Really good guy, super passionate about the project. Think he's fantastic for what he's done. He kind of went over everything with me and basically, you know, obviously Frex, is now known. He took the money and everything like that and was gone. With that being said, I started looking around and kind of noticing in a couple of different Discords and other people that had access to this information that essentially what happened was that he took the money, but not everybody was a privilege to that information, which I just didn't quite think was fair to the public, as I didn't think me being in the spot that I had essentially inside information and several other people that this is what was going on in the project. And yet the rest of the community and the public is out there trading, buying, selling the project without really knowing what's going on at all. It just didn't sit right with me. So I told them that I was going to write and make this public knowledge about what was going on. And that did not sit well with a certain marketplace who at this point, before I had gotten involved, was not even speaking with or talking to Boylan pretty much. They were just kind of blowing him off. And then all of a sudden, when they found out that I was going to go public with what was going on, then all of a sudden they reached out to him. They wanted a call with him. And then they started personally writing myself as well to kind of wait, hold on, don't divulge the information, just kind of let's wait another 24 hours as they kind of figure out what's going on, which I just, once again, I don't think it's fair to the public that anyone has inside information on things like that that are going on. I just don't think it's right and fair. So I decided to go ahead and write my thread about the entire situation and whatnot. I did tell Boylan before about what I was planning on doing. I told him after speaking with him that I was going to write it and that, you know, hopefully it put pressure on a certain marketplace to continue to step forward and do the right thing. And I'm still not really thrilled with how everything went down and what happened and their fake commitment to the project and stuff like that. But anyway, so it's just like a quick little summary on kind of when I knew what I knew, how I knew. I did some digging, obviously, and I just, in the end result, I don't think it's fair to the community. As the biggest thing to me in these NFT projects and in the space in general is transparency. And without transparency, it comes back and hurts everybody in general. And so when I have the opportunity to be transparent with my reach and my audience and the public just in general and get it out there, I just think it's only fair that everyone knows as soon as possible and what's going on. When it comes to that project, I'm going to support the project itself. I think Boylan is fantastic. I think he's got a great passion for it. We need more people in the space like him who are just very passionate about what they're doing and bring good to the space in general. So I'm going to continue to support. And Merrick stepped in there and did that. And I think it's great what's going to continue to happen with the project. So I hope that the community doesn't hold it against them for one individual who just basically rug the money out from under them, but not the project, because he wasn't really doing anything in the project anyways. Okay. But anyway,
yeah,
that's my quick, quick spiel on that. Go ahead, Karma. You have something to add?
Yeah. I think I just wanted to tell you, thank you for sharing that. You know, I think everybody was craving some transparency that was, I wouldn't say easy to gain in this entire situation. I feel though like it, you know, it would have been valuable to have invited the Skeleton Punks and the Lure team to speak for themselves in all of this as well. I hope that at some point, maybe when the dust has settled, we could actually do that and have a constructive conversation about what happened and how to handle such situations in the future. Because it seems like the supportive structures that should have been there and are advertised were not truly there to, you know, to be utilized, and the support that should have been present just wasn't offered to the project, and the community, in this case you, had to step in, which is incredible, you know, but yeah, it's not necessarily the what you would have expected.
No, I agree with you, and there's a lot more in-depth detail that I'm with kind of holding, as I just don't feel that it's in my place to say. Like you said, I'll definitely have the Skeleton Punks and Boylan on here to do a spaces. Luart can be, Ashton can come on if he would like as well. I mean, I know he's probably not thrilled with me for speaking about kind of what's happened and stuff like that, but there's more that went on in the background that I'm just, I felt terrible for the project and Boylan in general, especially as he kind of took over the project, was doing everything, saw all these red flags, these warning signs, was doing stuff about it, was informing the right people, doing everything he possibly could behind the scenes to make sure that he was kind of safeguarded in some regards about what was going on. And just the lack of transparency on the other end from Luart, that I was not naming earlier, but from Luart, and kind of how they handled everything and stuff like that, just didn't sit fantastic with me at all. And that's kind of why I stepped forward with saying everything. Boylan gave me his blessing on doing that. And so now I know he's still structuring things with Merrick and going forward and stuff like that. So I'd love to have them on when they're ready. He's definitely willing to do that and speak on it. But I think it's good that we have Messier here with us because we can talk a little bit about what they're doing as well. It's a natural fit into kind of preventing some of this stuff and what happens when something like this happens for the community, what they're doing and going about it. But before we go into that, let me just kind of introduce you guys as well. Good future. I'll start with you. As you know, my partner Soul Big Brain pretty well. You kind of gave us the hint about the Galactic Punks, and that kind of is what got us into it. We're pretty massive holders here. I don't think anybody really knows the magnitude of what we are, but it's quite massive. I would say it's probably the biggest one you have. We're probably the biggest holders of Galactic Punks. But anyways, yeah, just give us a little introduction about yourself and the idea and thought that came into in the Galactic Punks and how you got there with them.
Yeah, thank you. Back in, September last year, I think like Connor, my co-founder and I kind of just, we're really intrigued by like the Dare community and wanted to build something. And I think our number one goal was to just build or bring NFTs to Terra, because we thought that that was another way to just onboard so many people to like this amazing ecosystem. So we decided, hey, let's create an NFT project, started brainstorming ideas and landed really on Galactic Punks. I was the one that actually like created the art, generated it together. We kind of launched and recruited people like Frank and now Karma and Jack, who are amazing kind of community leaders. That's how Galactic Punks really came to be. And at the core of this, we always really wanted it to be very like community focused, community driven, and like creating this DAO is like the perfect way to really do it. That's kind of our values and how we came to be.
Awesome. Karma, why don't you just give me a little bit of how you got involved with Galactic Punks and what your role is kind of now with them?
Well, hello, everybody. Some people might already know me, but a very, very quick brief would be that I'm a paintings conservator by trade. So I come from the traditional art world, having dealt with many, many years of installations and working for museums. It's a bit like coming from TradFi, you know, you're disillusioned with the traditional world and you're looking for something better. So that eventually led me to the NFT world. I entered Terra just at the right time to become a user, a mod, and then a team member at the Galactic Punks. Quite a fortunate story. And now here I am, a converted NFT bull. So more often than not, when I'm on Discord, I have a painting on an actual easel that I should be treating or cleaning or whatever. And then I ignore it for the Discord. So this is like the ultimate win of NFTs over traditional art.
Very cool. That's awesome that you got into this. Cool. All right. Messier, why don't you give us a little background on you guys, just in kind of how you guys came about with the NFT marketplace and your guys' idea behind it.
Hey guys. Yeah, sure. It's Gaza here. I'm representative for the Messier team. How did it start coming about? I mean, this was probably a project incubation from Dylan, our CEO, towards the end of last year, I think. And he brought on Anna Lunar Eclipse, that you people may know. She is our CMO. And then shortly after that, approached myself to come on as partnerships and marketing kind of engagement lead. We've recently had a couple more people join the team. One person here, Hooligan, who helps strategically and advise us. A very small team. There's about six or seven of us now, including our dev backend. Marketplace has been live about a month now. We're really kind of ramping up on everything we're doing in the background. We launched our MVP product. We've been building on that. Got plenty of exciting plans kind of in the pipeline. Now starting to kind of talk to our projects. Many of the main original kind of blue chips that are listed on our secondary, and still talking to a ton of others, and we've got them in the schedule and pipeline. So yeah, we're really kind of going from strength to strength in the back end as we kind of try and build up our community and our projects and our marketing. It's a really kind of exciting quarter ahead, I think, for us, especially as we start to think around, we've got our TGE soon in the next couple of months, and really kind of just kind of building on that marketplace and trying to integrate ourselves within the wider community. And ultimately, at the end of the day, there's a ton of marketplaces, but for the actual DGens and community themselves, marketplaces and, you know, us getting more and more competitive is only going to benefit everybody. You know, it's going to constantly have to innovate. And we're really looking forward to that challenge and really excited to kind of establish ourselves in the Terra ecosystem.
Yeah, awesome. Very cool. Yeah, I believe as well that the competition in anything in life creates and breeds better product for the end user. And that's ultimately the goal for everybody, right? Is to enhance the space, the Terra ecosystem here is we need better marketplaces. We need better wallets. We need better everything in general as we just continue to grow the space from what it looks like now to in 5 years. Very cool. All right. So let's get into the punks here. I know you guys are doing a bunch of cool things with the staking. Why don't you give us some info on that? How many, what percent are staked right now at the moment? I know I just had somebody in our office here had to go through one of our wallets with, I think, 120 of them. And they said it took them a little over an hour. So they weren't pleased with me on that, but it's got to be done. So why don't you guys
give us 61% or something.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good
absolutely.
Amount.
Absolutely.
That's definitely
a yeah. Good I think we reached like 50% staked within what, like 48 hours. It was absolutely insane.
Wow, mm-hmm. That's pretty good. And so, why don't you guys go over some of the staking benefits and stuff like that? Why would it benefit people to stake their punks?
Good future. Do you want to take this one or should I?
You can go for it. I can add to it though after.
Absolutely. So. The punk staking was a mechanism that we wanted to implement basically for a fair distribution of the rewards from our DAO investments. So we have something that we sometimes call a community VC, where we try to democratize investments into our project at an early stage by, as a DAO, investing amounts of money into the private rounds of these protocols. And so far, we have invested in Luard, and we have now invested in Messier as well. So these tokens, as they vest, will be distributed to people staking their punks on a weekly basis. Now, we have believed that, you know, on one hand, you do want to take punks out of the circulation, of course. On the other hand, we believe we shouldn't be locking anyone's funds away. We are all illiquid as it is. Mm-hmm. So you can actually unstake your punk at any time. But in order for your awards to become claimable, it has to stay staked for 21 days. And this 21 days period is just like a nod to the classical 21 days of unstaking Luna.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah. And I guess, yeah, just to add to that, I think I'm trying to remember the exact numbers, but I think our initial investments in Luart were 5 million Luart tokens or something, and Messier 2.5. So yeah, like Karma said, 21 days. And I guess another reason we want to do that is like we really do like love like our community and love like the people that believe in Galactic Punks. So like it's I think so valuable to like reward those people and especially the kind of like diamond hand stakers that are fine with that mm-hmm. that lock or not lockup period, but like the 21 days instead of having to just like jump in and out when they can expect rewards to be distributed.
Right. So that's a nice benefit to holders, especially ones that are long-term plays in the Galactic Punks that believe in it and think it's a blue chip, you know, Terra NFT project. So with the DAO investments, what do you guys look for? What are you looking for to invest in? What are some of the things that catch your eye that specifically you're kind of looking to invest in?
Yeah, I can start again and then you will supplement. Well, basically, so far, as we have already touched upon, Terra space is so incredibly tiny and early. We are where Solana was exactly 5 months ago. And I think the Galactic DAO sees itself as an entity, as a community that is really obviously invested in Terra NFT space. And we want to see it succeed in, you know, a rising tide rises all ships. So I think we look to projects elevating Terra NFT space, and it just happened to be two marketplaces so far. We do partner up with other protocols as well that just build within the Terra space and not necessarily just NFT projects.
Right.
Sorry, I'm just going to add to that too. A couple things, but I think one amazing benefit to Terra is just like out of all the ecosystem that like blockchains I've seen, like Terra is so filled with builders, like so many people that are like very builder first. And the beauty of this DAO and like being able to like take this treasury and invest is like the community feedback and like the understanding of what's like a great product out there is so strong because we're filled with all these builders. So it's like even like, you know, there's always like community feedback that can push certain investments forward and stuff like that. And that's kind of the beauty of the DAO.
Right. So I think you guys have done a great job with the punks and the branding and stuff like that. And I don't know if I'm allowed to say this information or not, but so we've been in talks for, so first let me get into the Iced Out Bulls Discord. A few days ago, there was a discussion going on about Terra NFTs and blue chip prospects and what's going to make them and stuff like that. And for me, I'm big on NFT projects becoming a brand, right? Nike, Pepsi, whatever it is. It's a brand. It's a worldwide brand to me. Those are the ones that are going to become the best throughout the world that have long-term plays that are going to be here 5 years, 10 years down the road, are the ones that turn themselves into a worldwide brand. So I'm not particularly fond on NFT projects calling themselves like Luna Bulls, for instance. I think the Iced Out Bulls have made a great, like, it's fantastic that they've kind of separated themselves in some regards, and they're known as the Iced Out Bulls, not the Luna Bulls, because when you're trying to build a brand, you want to advertise to everybody in the world, not just a certain ecosystem. So when it comes to this, I think this is a good future. You can tell me if I'm wrong here or not, but I know we've been in discussion about NFT NYC hosting a party between you can share the information if you'd like, or kind of give the listeners some idea of who you're talking about hosting or throwing a co-party with and whatnot.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I just don't know, Karma. Do you want to like? Are we good?
Oh,
to
God,
provide more
big
information.
The what?
Big brain dropping alpha. I think until we fully confirm all the details, okay, because they are not confirmed yet on the partner level. I'm really, really sorry, guys. No. I would love to drop some alpha, but I can't. I would feel very uncomfortable doing so at this point.
Yeah.
But it will come very, very soon. I'm sorry to disappoint.
No worries. Anyway, so we're not going to tell or whatever it is. Or divulge it, but I just think, anyways, I think it's a great idea that the partnership that you're trying to create and branding outside of the Terra ecosystem, let's put it that way, with other projects and stuff like that outside of the Terra ecosystem that are branding to a bigger audience, a bigger prospect of ecosystem of people, and I think that's a great idea and way to go. And when you announce, I'm sure Big Brain will be a part of it as well. Sorry for throwing you guys under the bus there.
No worries. I think, yeah, it's a good point. Like our overall goals are to bring and open up possible investors and like people into the Terra space. So cross-chain, whether it's cross-chain, like partnerships, those are our goals.
Right. Right.
That's I guess all we can say right now.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, generally, we as lunatics, as you said, there is this very builder mentality, but as good as it is, it sometimes also gives us this tunnel vision. We very much like to swim in the same pond with everybody. And I think we are genuinely trying to just look outside the ecosystem. So many people haven't even heard about Terra NFTs yet. And we just really need like this interest from others to grow, to ensure that this ecosystem is actually, you know, receiving an influx of new talent, that new artists find it and are interested to build within it. And I'm equally happy that, you know, we are actually receiving more infrastructure as well. So Messier Art has enabled this self-minting that was not possible before. And I'm just really, really excited, you know, for some of the new new functionalities.
Yeah, definitely. So what do you guys think about, like, kind of how I brought up, like, taking, if you're in an up-and-coming NFT project, or, I mean, for instance, I'll throw out there, like, obviously we're big Solana monkey business holders, SMB. They're clearly trying to get away from Solana in the name, as they try and go to a brand that is going to be worldwide known, and whatever the case is, as they're trying to build and grow for 5-10 years down the road. If you're an up and coming project or a project now, having like Terra or Luna in the name of the project, I just think it kind of it doesn't limit, but in some regards, it does put limitations on the audience that you're going towards. And if you're trying to be a blue chip project like Galactic Punks are, I just don't see the benefit of having that name in the project itself. Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
So when we initially were thinking of like doing this project, that was actually a huge, huge battle for us, because we were like, we weren't the first, but we're one of the first like big collection projects on Terra. And it was like the easy route was really taking Terra or Luna and putting it into our name. And we're like, this is how, you know, we'll, from like a marketing side of things, we'll like get more eyes on it and bring more people in. But then, yeah, like exactly like you said, like it wasn't the brand that I envisioned like building around. Like when you connect like a certain chain to it, then we're worried, okay, now we're really only catering to people that are like Luna. And like our whole goal originally was to just bring as many people as possible to Terra, but through NFTs. And since we were like the first, we were like, well, so we decided to drop like that and really brand based on Galactic Punks, because we thought it was like, first of all, a cool name, but also just something that that won't really tie us down in the future to hopefully what we have like as more of a cross-chain world.
I agree. I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think you guys made a good call on that. But I'm talking about like for these NFT projects, to me in general is similar to art. I mean, Karma, you can kind of touch on this. Like art, you have like you have the Mona Lisa, you have these, you know, you have these top tier artists that their art is worth is very valuable and worth a lot. Then you have a ton of artists that most of it is worth very minuscule compared to the top artists. I kind of see NFTs in the same regard as that, if I'm looking at 5 and 10 years down the road. But I do see it as art in a way that in 5 or 10 years down the road, there's going to be certain NFT projects that are going to be the community, and the project itself is going to be known, whether it be to a 75-year-old grandma or an 18-year-old kid, whoever it may be, somebody that might not even be in the crypto ecosystem space. And I think those projects that aspire to kind of grow to that level and be their own brand are the ones that are going to be the Mona Lisas, are going to be the very exclusive elite art NFT projects that hold this greater value than most of the rest. Do you kind of see that, Karma, at all in comparison to real life art?
Yeah, I think it's incredibly complex topic and a very, very good question. Even in the traditional art world, it's very, very, you know, there are incredibly huge disparities in what critics, what the public finds is the best. I think, and these disparities will just always be there. I think becoming like a historical piece of art lies at the intersection of being either the first to do something or doing something incredibly well at the right time, you know? It's sort of like there are many components to this. And similarly, I think with the very successful NFT projects, there is a little bit of a survivorship bias where we try to look to the projects that are very successful to obviously see what they are doing right. But there were possibly other projects that were doing similar things that just didn't become as successful. I think there is always a little bit of a luck component, or just being there at the right time, striking the right movement at the right time. It is genuinely difficult to assess. Nevertheless, I think for me, at the very least, you know, this is a very individual component. But I personally love the NFT projects that push the boundaries of art as a medium. So Galactic Punks, SMB, and many other projects, Wagmi Monkeys, Hellcats, whichever project we might name that has a DAO, has a strong community. Suddenly, for art, you no longer have just the brush strokes, the art, the paint medium. You suddenly have this society component. It's like almost like an artwork painted with social engagement that the DAOs are adding to it. Just something completely new that we weren't able to assess before in art. And to me, that is just the most interesting aspect.
So,
yeah,
I mean, that's a great point. And I agree with you. So at some point, though, you know, whether it be like all those communities you just named, like they're, you know, you probably named the top ones here. And then you have like the Iced Out Bulls, who the Iced Out Bulls are part of the Luna Bulls, but the Iced Out Bulls have made themselves this very special community with a DAO. And it's like, it's a very elite, upscale, like kind of hard to get into, right? And it's an unbelievable Discord and group and DAO and all that. And so there's so much value being in there. And that was created by a community, right? Like that, the project itself, Luna Bulls, they're okay. They have a good community, but the Iced Out Bulls have just separated themselves from the community, not separated themselves from the community, but they've stood out in the community with what they've built based upon the people in there and what they've kind of done along with it. So I believe I'm with you. I think you can have all the right pieces in place and still a bit of luck about pulling the trigger on the right time on certain things really plays a big role into it and kind of getting the momentum and steamrolling for you essentially, right? And I just think that a lot of these projects, when they look at each other and they try and kind of mock or mimic or comment or copy kind of each other's successful patterns, that the ones that kind of step out and do something unique and are the first of the kind to kind of lead the future going forward in it are the ones that will really end up kind of stepping to the forefront of everything in that regard.
Yeah, I agree. And it's, I mean, it's such an interesting, beautiful space because like there also at the same time is really no rhyme or reason as to like why a project becomes successful. You know, you can have really, really hyped up projects that mint out but then die immediately, or ones that, you know, don't mint out and then rise from what you thought were the ashes to becoming a really strong project with an amazing community. So you know, I think that there's always what shines through is like consistent like hard work and like and everything, but you know, like the community and people coming together and connecting really at the heart of it across all these projects is what makes a project shine through.
Do you think that that these projects, I mean, people from all over the world are involved in these communities, right? Do you think it is advantageous for them to get together in person, throw parties, get together like and actually meet in person and kind of build that brand and blow it up even more?
Yeah. Like I think we're seeing a lot of amazing examples right now of how like NFT projects can really take things to another level in IRL experiences. And I mean, like at first, a good example is like some of the ones going on in like LA right now with like Azuki and stuff like that. Like they're taking things to another level, providing these like real world experiences that I think add to that like inclusiveness feeling and just being a part of this exclusive community that has perks. But also like I also for sure back like meeting people in real life. I think that adds another layer to like the value of like a connection that you might just otherwise only have online.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't dox myself here like online or anything like that, but if I'm ever at one of these conferences that I mentioned earlier and whatnot, and if you're a part of whether it be the Punks, the Wagmi Monkeys, the Bulls, the Hellcats, whoever it is, and I'm there and you reach out to me, guess what? I'm going to meet up with you. I'm going to have a beer with you. I'm going to get to talk to you, you know, and you can see me in person and stuff like that. I think that just adds value to it as well, that you're part of this select group and community that's kind of a close-knit family in some regards, right? So I think it does add value.
Yeah, I think also for so many of us, this NFT space is more than just a hobby or just, you know, like a pastime speculation medium. I think it has become so much more to many of us. Certainly to me, it has replaced a lot of, I don't want to say human interaction because that sounds depressing. Mm-hmm. What I mean is that I have found really, really passionate people and friends in that space beyond anything I would have thought possible, you know? And it has allowed me to grow in ways that I wouldn't have been able within just my old friends circle, because I was just exposed to so many opposing views. And I think bringing this over to your real life, going and actually meeting the faces behind the JPEGs, behind the pixels, just adds this incredibly personal layer that ties you to this community in just new ways that are not achievable just via the not yet ready metaverse.
Right, I agree. I mean, it's pretty incredible what it can do and how it can bring people together and take you outside of your boundaries. From wherever you're from and whatever you do and whatever your culture is, you can step outside of those boundaries by one of these communities and talk to people and get different view of opinions and stuff like that can really change a lot about your thinking and what you're doing in life, and hopefully step outside of just that close-knit circle that most people have as well. All right, let's get into to Messier here a little bit. So obviously I'm an investor here, the Galactic Function investor in you guys. I want to talk about some things, obviously, with the skeleton pucks and what's happened. Let's talk about like your structure with the KYC, how you get behind it to kind of hopefully prevent some of these bad actors in the space.
Yeah, sure. I think, you know, as we start to consider, like, this is one of the first major rugs. I know there's been some in the past, a long time ago, in Terra. And look, I'm not in really any other chains. I don't know about other people. But I think this community is so tight knit, and you kind of know everybody from at least a picture or a name from Discords, etc. And there's probably a thing at some point in time where us as a community or larger projects or marketplaces really need to kind of nut out something together to how we can try and combat this. So that's definitely something that I think is going to happen within the near future from our side of things. Look, we have a process. We've integrated a third-party KYC. Whenever we start speaking to an initial project, you know, we get them into a Telegram, we start chatting around the project. We always arrange a call. We try and do video calls just because it kind of gives you a little bit of personable approach there. You know, straight out the gate, you kind of get to put a picture to a name and it becomes a little bit more, I know you, you know me. We obviously do that all behind closed doors, not sharing any of that out there. Carry on going through our conversations, you know, more calls, etc. And our biggest thing that we always say is we inform every project that we undertake KYC. To date, when we've spoken to anyone, no one's been nervous about that. No one's kind of been dodgy about that. So that's a kind of a positive start from us. And then our third party, I actually went through the process a little bit earlier today. I was just talking to the team and I was like, hey, look, I just really want to see what this goes like. And I was quite surprised kind of with our third party, how detailed it is. There was a proof of residence. You have to literally say where you live. You put in your bills or something like that. The next stage, then you go through proof of identity. You upload your passport, kind of puts everything in there. And then you have a selfie on top of it as well. So I think, you know, what we were doing there is really kind of key there to at least get that information in the background. Obviously, I'm not too sure how other marketplaces or projects across other ecosystems have gone about ensuring that when things have gone amiss. But yeah, I definitely think it's there. It's a priority, and it's something that we as a community need to keep on building on and striving on to be on top of.
Perfect. So in the case, like, let's just use the skeleton punks here as a good example of things that happen. They have essentially, Frex was the founder, but they KYC'd him and Bolin, who came on after. So when that happens and there are two people, two parties there, do you require like a multi-sig for stuff as well? Like, yeah, obviously Luar didn't, and they just had Frex, and Frex had all availability and just took it all out of the treasury there. So is that something that you guys are requiring, or
It's definitely something that we actually discussed as a team very recently in the last couple of days. I don't want to say yes, a guaranteed 100%, because like, that's something that we need to decide and agree on and when we work through projects. But I definitely believe that the multi-sig is a very powerful tool, and that should be utilized as much as possible. Like I said, I'm not too sure about any other projects. But yeah, I think it's something that we can try and push towards much more doing. But then I think it goes down to, again, the responsibility of, I'm not going to talk in detail about punks because I don't know too much about that, or I'm not too involved over there. But if you have two or three, you've also got to be very cautious that that's not the ultimate. That's not what's going to solve everything. You know, there was that one that I've seen recently, I think it's over in the States, right, that these two or three like 21-year-old boys have been caught and are being prosecuted, you know. If there is a malicious group doing it, you've then got two or three that they can still have a multi-sig and could still all go about doing that. So it's definitely a good start, but I don't think it's the end game. I think we need to keep on striving to how we can improve it.
Yeah. Karma, you go ahead.
Yeah, I'm raising my hand like a schoolgirl.
Well, I saw that.
Well, I just wanted to add, just because some people have been very critical about projects that do not have multisig yet, I just wanted to add to the conversation saying transparently that as great as multisigs are, and the GP is on one, we still keep basically a DAO hot wallet with a substantial amount of funds, simply because multisigs on Terra have not fully matured yet, and it's actually quite difficult to perform some transactions on them. So, for example, sending tokens is, I believe, not yet possible. Like sending NFTs is not possible. And for example, if you have a white treasury and want, you know, like staking, unstaking from Anchor, I think that is supported right now, but wasn't before. I'm just saying that having both types of wallets, so like a multi-sig for the like the slow moving war chest and then a hot wallet, is not something to call projects out on. This is done for a reason.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. We're still evolving in the space and growing towards it. I just think right now, with especially what just happened, the transparency level needs to be as high as possible for everybody in the community in general. As you know, we can't let one bad actor essentially affect everybody and get completely worried and thrown out. But I do think it's just good in general, the KYC process that it seems like Messier and Luart are also doing as well. And it gives you some bit of familiarity with them if you're the marketplace that's doxing them. And I think a team call is good with them as well. So it's just to hopefully give a peace of mind to the community. Although stuff like this can still happen through many different ways, whether even if it is through a multi-sig, like you guys mentioned, a party of three could be in cahoots and pull it off. But yeah, I think it's just something that we need to keep continually growing and working on and getting better and finding ways to prevent things like this from happening. Although it's going to happen from time to time in this space, which is the unfortunate part, but hopefully not too often.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like, all we can really do is like continue to push the standard. And as long as we do that, and that standard for what like investors should look for and be comfortable with before actually putting money into a project, as long as that's going higher, then as a space, we're moving in the right direction.
Right, definitely. I agree. I mean, do you think there comes a time where the majority of new NFT projects and whatnot, or the founders and stuff, are kind of doxing themselves for the most part to the entire community? I mean, my plan a little bit with this space is just in general is to showcase also new projects in Terra that are growing, that are building, giving them a platform to reach out to a bigger audience, a greater audience, to give them some more, the audience more comfort with them and familiarity with them and what they're doing. But at the same time, does it give you, if you're an investor, does it give you a greater sense of comfort if this team is able to dox themselves somehow to you as an investor, as an outsider, but not just to the marketplace?
Yeah, that one's tough. And I think that we'll at some point move towards there. You know, one thing that like could be cool is you could start seeing like these third party companies pop up that are like specialized in like just in that kind of aspect of like you dox to this third party company maybe they're like, and they like verify that. And if they have that KYC, then across the board, whether it's like, it won't really matter what marketplace it is, or like if a rug happens, that third party would be like liable to actually like go and report that and have all the information necessary to do so. So you could start to see like those kinds of third party things coming. I mean, I don't know if the standard will ever be like fully doxed, especially in like a PFP driven world, right, where people aren't going to put their faces openly. But like stuff like having like pre projects on your resume, being like, you know, open and doxed to other members in the community, I think that will grow. You won't be able to just start a project with like zero Twitter followers, nothing about you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I also have just a quick idea on that and a quick comment. So, I mean, I'm called Karma, so I believe in karma. Like, I think people who rug will eventually get what's coming to them. However, what I am really waiting for, and I would love to see, is at some point an NFT project launched with the creators being paid and compensated invested NFTs of that collection. So that would basically align incentives between holders and the actual team. When instead of, and maybe of course you do get a cut of the mint for your, you know, like the upfront costs that you've put out, but maybe that should be lower, and then you get paid either in royalties only or in actual vested NFTs as the project progresses.
Yeah, that's a pretty good idea. I know as an investor, you know, there's two things. I like to dox teams when I get on calls with them and kind of just get a feel for them and whatnot. But also a big part of the tokenomics and a lot of stuff that we invest in, we always make sure the team is vesting terms are longer than any of the investors and stuff like that, because you want them in for the long haul. If it's their project, if they're building it, you don't want them just quickly getting out and stuff like that. So yeah, that's an option that could be unique for projects upcoming and building to think about for sure. Let me get to Hooligan real quick. He requested a few minutes ago. Let me let him in here and see what he has to say. Hooligan, you there?
Buddy, thanks for letting me jump on.
Yeah, no
problem. I was definitely going to say, I think doxing and having fully doxed NFT teams is going to be a long stretch, unfortunately, because we're in such a decentralized space. But I love the idea of using the NFTs like a vesting period. I mean, let's be fair, it's a CW721 token. There's no reason it can't be locked up and released with a cliff in vetting period and everything else. So I just thought that was a really cool comment.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for your input there. I agree with you. I think there's ways that that these up and coming projects can definitely differentiate themselves and do different things to have the community kind of more comfortable with them going forward without doxing themselves through ways like that you said. Gaza, go ahead. What do you have on that?
Yeah, I've got the Twitter Spaces hermits out because I didn't hear anything Hooligan said then. So if I repeat, I'm sorry. Yeah, I think I was just going to add on to what Confucius was saying. It's like, I think the doxing is part and parcel of a number of things. You know, in this kind of ecosystem where everyone is anonymous and you do kind of tread caution on everything, I think there needs to be a number of checkpoints that people go through. And then at the end of the day, as it comes down to everything, there is people that can be fraudulent and can trick people. You know, that's what we get in part personal life, even outside of crypto. So there's definitely a number of touch points that we need to ensure that we as marketplaces and then investors, you know, as in both, you know, people like yourself, like VCs, and also then community people, do their due diligence, keep on driving and asking the questions to make sure that what you are doing is what you think is the right thing to do. And also just making sure that those projects and protocols across the board are in line with what you believe are your morals and values to be able to kind of further your investment and want to be a part of that community.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. All right. Let's get into what you guys are doing a little bit here. I don't think a lot of people just in general, since you're newer, you've only been out a month here, really understand the fee structure and what you guys are doing there, as I believe the fee structure here is beneficial to both the buyer and seller compared to every other marketplace in Terra at the moment. And
I just don't think people know, or the word isn't really out yet, as you haven't had too many projects launch on you guys, and you need to pick up some volume there. So why don't you give people like an overview of the fee structure and why it's beneficial compared to other marketplaces?
Yeah, sure. I think that's the thing as well. Like, we're building over time, you know, we're slowly but surely growing and growing. We've got to compete with a lot of other marketplaces, and we're all habitual people, right? People know one platform or kind of get accustomed to that. And it's really, why does someone want to go elsewhere? And the fees is one of the main things we wanted to do. Our team are very much integrated in Terra NFTs as well. We all have and hold an absolute ton. And where we wanted to really focus on straight away was the fees. You know, over time, a lot of people have made a lot of comments around fees and how much they are taken away from marketplace. You obviously got the royalties from projects, which differ from project to project, you know, donations to Anchor. And so from that, we thought, what's the thing that the community want the most? And it's to basically keep your hard-earned Luna or UST. And so if you're selling, you know, an NFT, should you be the one that, not penalized, but should you be the one that pays the fees? Should the buyer be the one that pays the fees? So where we looked at falling down on it then basically is bringing down to be the cheapest secondary marketplace fees. So we charge 1% on top of the royalties. So project 4%, we add on another percent. That's 5% that will be taken away from the trade. And we split that buyer versus seller. So if you pay for a 10 Luna, the seller will take home 9.7 and the buyer will pay 10.3. So we split that straight down the middle. And, you know, that's a 0.3 swing just on a 10 Luna sale. And if you keep on adding that up over time and time, you know, that one Luna trade can actually be much more beneficial for people in the long term, especially if we do moon and hit that lovely 1,000 price point. You know, you've ended up saving $300 just on one trade from an NFT that you've done in you know, in April 2022. So we really wanted to hone in or focus on that, that when people do start to come, they're going to get the cheapest fees. And then when projects do mint with us, what we then provide then is an incentive to their community on secondary marketplace fees. So we will take a 10% discount straight off the cusp if you mint with us. So that means that the secondary marketplace fees are going to be 0.9%. So they're only maximum going to be 1%, and then we drop down. So, you know, if the next project starts to do you know, volume that the punk guys have done, straight away, you know, you start getting cheaper and cheaper secondary fees, so more money into the community's pocket, and basically we then be able to build and grow together this this NFT ecosystem.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think it benefits everybody involved. I think for you guys, in general, like Luart, I think kind of really did well because the Hellcats, their first collection, did so well, so popular, and the volume that's over there. So I think when you guys kind of hit that first big project that's minted on there, it's going to bring more volume to the table as well. And hopefully, just as people in general get more aware of what's going on, they're going to want to list and sell and buy there compared to a lot of other places. But like you said, people are so structured, you know, with Random Earth, everyone's been there forever, and they just like, that's just like the spot to go to. But I think as the space grows in general and we get more of the audience aware of what's going on, I believe that it's just beneficial to them to list and to sell on the marketplace. I mean, it just makes too much sense for it. I've made, I minted the Puffins on there and the Eels, or the Eels maybe it is, the Eels collection.
Yeah, the Eels.
I minted a bunch of those. I thought the functionality of it actually was terrific when I minted. I thought it was just very easy and seamless. Like it was very smooth. I enjoyed the experience actually myself. So I thought that was very good. What are some of the other functionality features that you guys are planning on bringing in into it that kind of differentiates yourselves?
Yeah, and I think that's specifically on the Eels. So we were supposed to go mid Feb, and we actually pushed back by 2 weeks. To go to the beginning of March, because for those that do know Dylan and those that don't know Dylan, the guy's a perfectionist. Like he really wants everything to be absolutely perfect, and was absolutely determined to launch an MVP. You know, he didn't want to go V0 to V1 to V2. He wanted to go with a product that was there and ready to, you know, kind of be the best experience from the offset. So we've then basically just started layering on some additional functionalities that weren't all necessarily required for, you know, one project launching and then growing up the secondary marketplace. So, you know, in recent days and weeks, we've added on the percentage traits, we've added on filtering from it, We're changing some of the UIs around the actual auction and buying. We have a channel where we're completely listening to community feedback. I know we've been speaking in the past around some things that you'd like to see that we'd add onto the roadmap. Mm-hmm. In the next couple of days, we can have the activity feed come out. And we're also then going to make some more changes to that one-of-one minting feature, which we do really want to go into and really kind of lean in on, and how we then start to build that out, you know, throughout the call of Q2, we've got further plans specifically for that. You know, how do we make a full-fledged artist profiles? You know, if you look on other chains, especially on ETH, you've got Foundation and that kind of stuff. They really build it out to be a portfolio and profile, even like, you know, an old school Facebook or LinkedIn. And that's really kind of the vision for where we want to drive down through to that. And then just kind of have an overall look and feel that kind of continually improvises and improves. Our product chat is constantly buzzing with ideas, with improvements, with small tweaks and UI changes, even with copy and call to action. You know, we're really kind of passionate about making it look as best and simple as possible for users. And then, you know, long tail, we've always been, and where we want to go to is how we bridge between digital and physical art. And there is the idea then for how we can kind of bring in kind of one-click merch shops, how we can attach, you know, bringing in a physical print of your actual artwork, your NFT. You know, you see loads of companies pop up that are outside of marketplaces, and you have to upload your URL and then you go through shipping. But what if you bring that into a marketplace? You know, in that one size of your NFT item page, you go, what is this going to look like on a canvas? What's this going to look like on a small screen, or if it's going to be a digital screen, or if it's going to be a painting portrait? So yeah, we're really kind of looking then at how we can go long tail with this, as well as just kind of touching up on the little small changes that are required.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, I like some of those ideas that you guys have, and are kind of in Terra especially are kind of very unique to the setting and the space. We're big one-of-one holders as well. We have Big Brain Gallery, which is just specifically dedicated to one-of-one pieces throughout a bunch of different ecosystems. So as you guys get in, I'm sure we'll be looking forward to kind of seeing some of these artists that you have on there and whatnot as well. Yeah, very cool. I like what you guys are doing. Are you guys planning on coming? What is some of the token utility that you're going to have for being a token holder here as well?
Yeah, sure. I'm actually going to go with, I remember tuning into the Grid's first AMA, and Karma said that she said something around it would be more expensive than $5 and cheaper than 3 Luna. And so for our TGE, I'll say it will be after the 1st of May, but before the end of May. We're going on StarTerra. Mm-hmm. We'll be looking to raise on there. And our Messier token will then be live and launched. There's a number of different things that we wanted to do with this. Like, you know, what is a utility when it comes down to a token, especially on a marketplace? One of the main things, as we just spoke about a second ago, was marketplace fees, right? So the idea and vision is to bring down trading fees even more, and that's by using the Messier token. So you will be able to then utilize the Messier token to buy and sell NFTs on our marketplace, and you will receive a pretty significant fee reduction over that of what you were using if you're using UST or Luna. And that really then drives that utility from it. And on top of that, you then start to add on the revenue sharing off it. So how then do you provide back from trading fees? We can go to our stakers, we can go to our LP providers, and then also looking at using a buyback and burn mechanism from that, so from the trading fees. And then what we'll also look to do on top of that is then kind of how you give back to certain community members. So very much going towards, can we look at utilizing whitelist allocations, you know, merch raffles. You may well have seen that we've done some 3D prints for eels, and we're going to do some sneakers for the eels. How can we kind of lean in further to that? With then kind of the end goal of moving towards a DAO. So we really want to be decentralized. We really want to grow that and trying to drive and give back to how do people want their marketplace to change. You know, as we said, we've listened to the community so much, but what then happens if you give community even more power to sway through decisions down the line? So there will be a DAO integration as well, that if you're holding the tokens, you'll be able to start to vote on what goes on Messier.
Yeah, really cool. Really cool. It sounds very good. I like that as well, for sure. Do you guys have any upcoming projects that are coming to mint on you guys? on your side here?
We do actually. We've got there's two here that I can see as I'm scrolling down. Two that I can see, and give yourselves away. If you've got Stoned Island, who's going to be our first indie collection. Hooligan actually hosted a AMA with him and Defy Jedi a couple of days ago. I think you're going to have another one going on soon. And then we've got the Lunatic Club here as well, who are really kind of focusing on trying to bring community members from different projects underneath one one kind of community NFT, and how they can build a kind of a play to earn and lottery system off the back of that.
Cool. Very cool. All right. Well, we're at about the hour mark. I kind of like keeping these somewhat to an hour here, because I'm sure the audience gets tired, got things to do. It's Friday. Let's just give some closing thoughts here. We've touched all over the map. I think this has been a very informative spaces as well. Good future. I'll start with you. What is kind of the topic that you saw that's most important here today that we've talked about or touched on?
Oof, lots of good stuff. I think really kind of the whole like setting a precedent and standard for just how we want the space to move forward and how we can, you know, work together with like marketplaces like Messier to kind of give trust and add another level of transparency for holders and how like other projects can do the same is just like super valuable. And I think that's kind of the leading topic in my mind here today.
Awesome. Very cool. Karma, I believe right before I got on here, or I was in another call, but I think somebody told me that the Galactic Punk, somebody was sweeping the floor there. Is there truth to that? Do we know?
Yes. Good information. Some users today actually woke up to a 45 Luna floor. So, you know, very gracious news, especially as Luna is hitting all-time highs.
Awesome. All right. So why don't you give me a quick rundown here on the punks and the future of them, and kind of where you see them going, what the overall goal is here, and why, if you're not in the punks at the moment, why you should get in and hold a Galactic Punk.
Well, I personally see punks as just a community. Again, for me personally, the DAO is the most important pillar of what this community is, obviously. And I think we are trying our hardest to work not only for our holders, but for the entire NFT space. And I think people who do hold Galactic Punks value that very much, because as I said before, with Terra being such an early space, there is so much overlap between holders of different projects. I think people just want to work together and want to lift each other up. Now, with our different builds, like with our Minter, with our staking contract, we are actually taking steps right now to open source all of this so that this can be a playbook for other projects to be able to build a bit more easily and follow maybe not necessarily in our footsteps, but at least have some more building blocks. I think that's the most important, to be honest. I think people value team players and builders and you know, not necessarily just looking at your own boat, but at the entire fleet in that particular sense. On the other hand, we have discussed this notion of, on the other hand, you know, looking to the neighbors across the chains and ensuring that Terra NFTs do receive some more awareness. So partnerships cross-chain are just absolutely important for that. And also to learn from each other, you know, every single hardship that the Galactic DAO is now facing as the Terra NFT space expands, these hardships have been faced by other DAOs before. They have been faced by the SMB on Solana. So we should also learn from each other and keep the communications going.
Definitely. So I said I was going to wrap it up, but I have one more question here that I just kind of thought about that I briefly touched on last week as well that I think I'd like your guys' opinion on before I get to Gaza here to finish. So we talked about cross-chain and getting people in through that space. And I've talked about bringing people outside of the entire crypto space in as you build a brand and such. But what do we do in Terra? Terra is such a big ecosystem in terms of like with Anchor and the DeFi and all that stuff that's going on inside of Anchor. But the NFT community space is still very small in terms of that. How do we get people that are already in the ecosystem in Terra involved into the NFTs? How do we bring them in? Because they're already here using this ecosystem, you know. So before, I mean, I just think that that's a natural fit. I think we can make the NFT space in Terra grow just by the entire ecosystem that's already in Terra. But how do we get those people involved into the NFT space?
I'm sorry for hogging airspace, but I just really think about this a lot. So I'm just going to jump on this immediately. So I personally, from my point of view, I think Terra NFT space, Terra NFT investors are incredibly, I would even say reluctant sometimes, but Terra is characterized by this incredible TeFi, DeFi composability and focus on high yields, complicated structures to obtain the highest returns. I think more people from that ecosystem will jump into NFTs the second they are more composable. So we need NFT collateralization, we need NFT fractionalization, we need NFT-backed loans. These are the products that we need to basically unlock the capital that we are locking within NFTs. And, you know, I'm incredibly happy to be working on Illiquidly with Jack on this. But there are also other builders in the space right now. There is sort of like a starting Metaplex on Terra being built, many, many other products. And I think just within literal weeks or months, this space is going to be unrecognizable and much more composable.
Yeah, I agree. I'm actually really looking forward to seeing what you guys are building. I know, I don't know if I've been in contact with you, but I've been in contact with Jack about it. I'm just looking definitely in more into what you guys are building and doing with that, as I think that's a great point. I think you can bring more people that are in the ecosystem into the NFT space as well, for sure, with all those points you just made with the fractionalization and everything like that, I think are great. Anyone else on our panel here want to add on to that or have anything on that before we close up? You guys good?
Yeah, no, completely agree with what Karma said.
All right, Gaza. Give me your final thoughts here on everything today and kind of why people need to check out Messier Art and start listing and getting stuff and buying and doing all the good stuff on there.
Sure. So, I mean, firstly, like, I'm very excited from a personal level about the punks. Annoying that the floor has gone up by about 10 Luna today because I've been accumulating by another. But look, we're very thankful and glad to be working alongside those, you know, as one of our investors. From a Messier side, look, it's all about growth. We're really excited to deliver on what, you know, our vision was. Slowly but surely, it's one step at a time. You know, we've got to build it up. We're there, ready and waiting for our project. We've got some really exciting ones coming up. There's even some more ones that are coming up now, you know, chatting around when they want to launch in the next month or two. And then it's just completely making sure our product is the best out there. You know, we really strive on that. We really want to be the best UI UX marketplace out there. And I think we're delivering on it, and there's still more we want to do. So if anyone here or wider community people have ideas, suggestions of what they want to see, I'm always all ears. We always want to talk about that as a team. And we want to give back to the community, as we said about the fee side of things. We want to do that as well by giving a marketplace that everybody wants, and then really kind of get really exciting towards what we're going to do throughout the whole of Q2 and revamp that whole one of one minter and really push towards those indie artists and artists coming from other chains, you know, whether that's Sol or ETH, like you mentioned earlier, and be able to give them the platform when we grow and when we're ready to explode with Terra NFTs. We want to be the marketplace that's there for them.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed this great panel we had today. And I think there's a lot of good stuff we dive into. I think as we continue to have these discussions and talks and just get more people informed and more people listening and brainstorm off of each other, I think we just grow with competition and also the passion that we all have for the space. So I think these are good. And I'm going to look to continue them and showcase some new projects and projects that are out there as well, so the audience can get used to them. But for now, I'm glad that I've had the Galactic Punks and Monkeys on here, and Iced Out Bulls, probably three of the top tier projects here in Terra that are continuing to grow the space and create what I think a lot of projects that are starting out aspire to be. So I just want to thank everybody again for listening, and everybody have a good weekend. Thanks again. Take care, guys.
Cheers, guys. See you later.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was A Space with the Galactic Punks and Messier Art, hosted by Terra Big Brain, recorded on Friday, April 1st, 2022. This episode of the Ether was brought to you by Luart. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. This episode of the Ether was also brought to you by Glow Yield. Glow Yield is the ecosystem of Terra decentralized apps like Lotto and Creators, all powered by DeFi yields. Glow Creators helps artists and influencers give their fans exclusive perks through membership, NFTs, and more. Glow Lotto is a PrizeLink savings account with a weekly chance to win the big jackpot. Tickets are free and perpetual, which means there's zero chance to lose money. Be sure to follow Glow Yield on Twitter and join the Discord community to stay up to date with all the glowing projects, and check them out online at glowyield.com. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Digging in the dirt, trying to find the treasure. Learning how to mix this business with pleasure. I'm kicking a lecture, spitting conjecture. High as a bird while I'm flipping the gesture. Living like a jester, investing these extras. Dissecting a mess, a eagle looking headstrong. Infinitesimal, the spitting is next world. And if you don't agree, well then I'm afraid you're dead wrong. So leave the mess hall and clean your plates up. I can't believe the rest of y'all feed on makeup. Bereavement breakup to rearrange your wake up. Big ol' bloody mess like a scene from Braveheart. Driving race cars that beat the fate. It's hard to meet your maker when the features ain't marked. Trying to slide underneath the paywall. I'm afraid this motherfucker's gone AWOL.
You had best unfuck yourself or I will unscrew your head and kick down your neck.
Sir, yes sir.
Private Joker, why did you join my beloved cult?
Sir, to kill sir.
No, you're a killer.
Sir, yes sir.
Let me see your war face.
Sir,
you got a war face?
Living on the earth, trying to mine some headspace. Give a little gift like I'm lifted dead weights. The risk of resting kicks the nest egg. Square in the nuts, y'all feeling testy. The breeze swept in, no need of resting. The least depressing, so sweet but messy. I need the best day to keep professing and hope my body doesn't leave behind a red stain. Pouring out little liquor for the dead states while the rest wait and bleed domestic. No means to gestate, breeds the best cake. Beauty on the back of the queen she just date. So take a little dive down a K-hole while I flip the B-roll right into A-roll and make the payroll go a little further. Replace the merger with the tainted version.
I'm a snowball!
God, snowball, what are you doing, sir?
I'm a snowball, you're fired. Private Joker is promoted to squad leader.
You will learn by the numbers. I will teach you. Now get up. Get on your feet.